I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's going on?
With me?
Yeah.
I'm really... There was a bit of a fake out today because we thought we might have a puppy in the studio with us, and we don't. So...
It's amazing how much that puppy affected... I'm like a little bit shook from it. I was scared of dogs growing up.
Me too.
You couldn't tell from either of us in that room just then.
We were like, I was letting it lick my face. And I don't do that with any dog.
Or anyone. I've tried many times to lick your face and you've said...
And I've been like, get off. Yuck.
Know your boundaries.
Yeah.
And stick in that, and stick in your lane.
I'd be like, if you want to lick this face, you better brush your tongue for 2 hours. I don't know what that dog's face had been in. And I don't care.
Has anyone ever told you to stay in your lane?
Yes. Oh, okay. You know, one time there was a kind of campaign at my primary school. There was a rule that you were not allowed to dye your hair. And so
At primary school.
And so they made... And then a friend of mine called Oliver, who was on What Now every week. So everyone was like,
what?
Celebrity much?
Was he a tally op?
No, he was like this. He did like the science experiments and stuff. He was like proper part of the show for a little bit.
Very cool.
And then he dyed his hair purple, and then he got told off. And then there was a petition being handed around the room to sign to so that we would be allowed to dye our hair because we were renegades. And then I added like an addendum to, like, I wrote something else on it.
And you're allowed to be gay.
Yeah, something like that. Not that, but that was what
Eli,
it meant.
Stay in your lane, mate.
That's exactly what it was. And people thought that I was anti the bill, the hair dyeing bill that was being put into the ballot. So I then...
What was your amendment to it? This is crazy.
I honestly can't remember. I was like...
What could you... Was it like hair length or...
I think it was almost like I was taking like a not all men stunt. I was like, and also it's fine to have your normal hair. But...
We all had to dye our hair a colour.
Yeah. And I was like, I'll have my hair however I want. And then I got told to stay in my lane, and then I got punched in the stomach. It's the only time I ever have been. And it was in the middle of class, and... Like,
who would have thought I just asked that simple question, and I feel like I've unleashed... Maybe the center of all your childhood trauma.
Well, it's a crazy memory because we were in the middle of like an art project at school. Like, we were all working quietly.
You got punched in the tummy?
Sam, I won't give his last name because I still see him. Sam, which is his name, who's a really nice guy now, really cool. But he did stand up and punch me in the stomach. And then I didn't tell the teacher or anyone. I just sat down and did my work and suddenly cried. And I remember my tears falling on the piece of art that
I was
working
on. How many are in your class? 30?
Yeah, 30, about 30.
Fuck off. That teacher saw it happen.
You reckon?
You can see if you were in a room of 30 people and one person is crying, you can see that person crying.
Even if 99 of the people don't notice.
The other 29, they don't even notice. No, but you can. You can always see if one person is crying in a room.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to subtly punch someone in the stomach, isn't it?
And kids are so bad at... How did this all play out? And the teacher was like... I think the teacher was like... This kid needs a little lesson.
Yeah, I think the teacher was like, I want to dye my hair too.
Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze.
This is our first non-live episode since our incredible weekend where I honestly felt the most loved I've ever felt in my entire life.
You felt so loved that you called it a weekend even though it was a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Felt like a Saturday and Sunday, baby.
It was so nice. We wish we could have people in here in here in the studio with us right now.
It would be too hot.
Yeah.
And the room's too small.
Yeah, I feel like the fire capacity for this room is 3.
I wonder what people think this studio looks like. I mean, I feel like people know the brown couches. They've seen those in
photos.
They've
seen the grams.
Hey, here's a competition. Draw us what you think the male gaze studio looks like.
Oh, and send it in.
Send it in. We'll judge.
Or draw us your own podcast studio for your own podcast about what you are.
Or just fucking like our tweets.
That's all we need. That's all we need. Wow. Every week I'm like, I wonder if this is the week that the male gaze starts a tweet storm. And I don't know if it ever has.
Or like we get like challenge. Hate.
Or
yeah.
Love or
I was going to a gig last night and I was like weirdly in my mind was like, what am I going to say if someone calls me faggot on stage? Like I just like in my mind played it out.
Wow.
And then I was like heckling this imaginary heckler in my mind like on the drive to the gig. It was kind of like amping me up.
What sort of things were you saying?
Oh no, it's actually too embarrassing.
Was it like,
it's like that thing where you're like, I'm going to come back, retaliate so viciously. But then I was like, it'd be good if I could prepare this in the right now so it feels in the moment,
yeah.
You know? Because I would honestly just be like choke on my tongue if that had happened.
Yeah. If someone called you a faggot, though, the entire audience would turn on them.
Turn on them.
Someone once said, when I did a gig in Titirangi, they were like, this is Trump country. And then everyone else was like, no, it's not.
It's Titirangi, mate.
Here's how it would play out for me, I reckon. I'm doing my stand-up. Hey, hey, hey. Someone in the audience, faggot. And then I just take a moment and then I go, I am what I am.
My mom was going to be like, how did you know what my boyfriend calls me?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
So I'm going to hold on to that.
Yeah.
And pretend it came in the moment. And if all of you hear this and you're at that gig, you are a true ally if you don't say anything.
Yeah.
You clap. But
you
don't be like,
don't say anything. If you sit there silently.
Side with him. Or her.
Be an ally to homophobes. They need some support.
But everyone needs to pretend that like I came up with it in the moment so that I feel like a quick off the cuff comic versus like he planned that in the car on the way there because he's always hoping someone's going to heckle him. I'm always looking for a fight, you know?
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like when you're as a performer, you don't want to give off any impression that on the car ride to the gig, you were brainstorming what to say if someone called you.
I guess I'm just thinking worst case scenario. I'm preparing for worst case scenario, you know, and I want tools in my belt. But I was like, probably need one of those, but no one. I always love when buskers are like, hey, I don't come into you while you're having sex with your wife and interrupt your performance. And I'm always like, whoa. Like, you know, they've definitely said it a million times. But
like,
I love when they.
What I've been feeling at the moment is, and I only clicked this morning that it's not actually happening. I think I had a dream where I needed to do a performance where I had to do a handstand. And it was one of those things that it's like stayed in my mind. So at the back of my mind recently, and I just had not spent enough time thinking about it to acknowledge this is not true. But I've been like, and I need to work on my handstand at some point.
And during the day now, you're like, oh, fuck. I'm
just like going about day by day. I'm like, how many days do you need to prepare for that?
I reckon either of us could learn to handstand.
I think so too.
And solidly, if we focused on it, 2 weeks.
Agreed.
Great.
I used to know a girl, her boyfriend.
If you disagree with us, don't add us.
Yes, we don't want any messages. But if you, we're another
this is
competition.
What our Twitter storm's going to be. I'll be like, bullshit, I'm a professional gymnast. Fuck the male gaze.
What I do is not easy, bro. But please draw a picture of us doing a handstand and send it in.
In the studio.
Yes, in the studio. However you think it looks.
Did you ever, I love how we both try.
The entire podcast. Saying
Did you ever enter like colouring in competitions for the supermarket or What Now or anything? Like, you know, they'd always be like, draw the Easter Bunny, we'll judge. And then I was always like,
you just whacked me. Chris just hit me.
No, Greg.
Chris just punched me in the stomach.
Watching What Now? And then you'd watch the colouring in competitions and people would, you'd see the calibre of the work out there. And I was like, people are putting in effort. And like, these people are now graphic designers. Our best graphic designers. Animators.
Let's be honest. People were getting their parents to do the colouring in.
True.
For real.
They're like, I need that Nestle pack.
Yes.
Yeah, I need that family trip to Rainbow's End.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I remember there was one What Now competition where you had to. They sent out a What Now sticker. You know where the logo was the TV, blue and red? And you had to put it on.
That's sort of circa Shakespeare's time.
Absolutely. The monkey. In fact, I think the prize winning Shakespeare pajamas, but you had to put the sticker in the funniest place. And I just put it on a piece of toast. It was so dumb. I could have really.
It'd be fun to
better.
Enter competitions now as a comedian.
Yeah.
A professional comedian and be like, I reckon I could come up with something quite funny.
Funny. It's someone else calling me a faggot.
Me. And me saying, is that what you, how do you know what I call my boyfriend?
Oh, that's so hard. You flipped it then. You said,
how do you,
the first time you did it, it was what your boyfriend called you. When you delivered that just then, you said it was what you called your boyfriend.
Oh, it's not, that's the wrong one.
I reckon that would make people go, oh, what?
You call your boyfriend a faggot?
Yeah, that's awful.
So I've got to practice the, because, and that's the thing, in my mind, you have the call, they're like, come back. That you've thought about in the car, and then when you say it in the moment, you fuck it up.
You get
and
it
then
you're like,
and then you have to be like, oh, listen, I've already thought this might happen. And the fact that it has played out tonight is honestly crazy.
Yeah.
And I had prepared this insult back. And then I feel like you've lost faith.
Yeah.
This is more of a comedy tips podcast.
It's just an advice thing. It's funny that you think that, like, heading to a gig in, like, central Auckland last night, like, it's not like you're heading into a particularly...
Yeah, but then I don't know about that space particularly. There was, like, there's, like, a hens do in there. You know, you
True.
It just brings in some weird people.
Yeah, you never know.
Like, people who look through, like, event finder pages and stuff. They're like, what's on? Have
Isn't
you ever done...
crazy?
I have done that. One weekend I've like scrolled. Same. Being like, what's an activity? I was like, I want to find a cat show.
I've looked for like dates and stuff. I've been like, oh, let's do a date and let's not do something normal. So I've had a scroll through it.
What's
finder.
Normal, Eli?
Straight.
Yeah, you're right. Straight as normal.
Straight as normal.
Gay is weird.
So any date I go on is
crazy.
Loop de loo.
It's like, what? There's 2 men at this date?
Do you want to factor the gay?
Yes.
Okay. In 1952.
My favourite year.
Yes, you were really in your prime then.
I was.
The United States Congress, they put forward a law which meant that if you were a gay or lesbian foreigner, you were not allowed to enter the United States. And that law stayed in the Constitution. Is that the right word? I don't know. Until the 90s.
Wow.
Crazy, eh? But then they... Cause,
wait, so you weren't allowed to enter the country?
Yeah.
But how did they know?
Exactly. And then in the
70s... This is me trying to work my way in. You know. How did they know?
But how do they know?
How did they know?
That's you trying to enter the US. They're like, are you gay? And you're like, how would you know?
Yeah, how would you know? They're like, because we subscribe to your podcast.
We listen to every episode.
That's what I keep thinking about. I was like, oh, I put so much gay shit out there.
Yeah.
Like, online. And all it would take is like one law change. You know, Handmaid's Tale happens.
Mm.
And I'm like... I'm in.
If you Google yourself, how many pages do you have to scroll through to find a thing about yourself that does not include at some point that you're gay in the text?
You won't find an article. Like, you literally won't find an article. What else is there to possibly talk about with
me? I don't know. I'm the same. I'm like, oh, I should do stuff that's not so gay, but...
Fuck it.
No, fuck it, man.
The straight people should do stuff about being a little less straight, to be honest.
Yeah, they should do more... No, straight. I hate when straight people, like... I really hate when, like, a straight person comic does a joke about, like, well, it's just ridiculous that gays can't be allowed to get married, blah, 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 blah.
I'm like, okay. Get off my turf.
Yeah, like, we don't need you to weigh in, you woke asshole. Anyway, this band, came in the 70s, they then decriminalized... Oh, not decriminalized, but acknowledged that homosexuality was not a mental illness. But this law stayed in, and they still stopped people. Not many people got stopped by this law, but they read of, like, about a few specific cases. Two Mexican men, they stopped them because one had a gold ring in his ear and the other one had a woman's handbag.
Fair, but also, God's sake.
It's crazy, eh? And then there was a guy selling antiques who had a gay pride, an antique gay pride badge on. That they also stopped.
In what year?
In the 70s.
What the flip? Yeah. Are we going to be like, depending on the whoever's at the desk?
Yeah.
At customs? Is that the term?
Yeah.
That would like, you might have a real asshole or just... That vibe is... customs is always tense. Like, even when I arrive in New Zealand, I'm like, they're not going to let me in.
Yeah, I'm the same. New Zealand always takes the longest for me. Weirdly, I went to the United States last year, and it was so quick. It was crazy.
Did you get a wee photo on the piece of paper on like a receipt? And it's truly the worst photo.
A terrible photo.
Terrible photo. But it's fun, isn't it?
It is fun, yeah.
Yeah, it is. What, I guess it would just depend on the individual as to whether they would like imply that law or not, which is, it's so weird that there's like strange laws that hang around that you're like, oh, we forgot about that one. Quickly, let's change it. Like in New Zealand Parliament, there's some crazy laws. Like in the, you're allowed to knit.
But only if you are. When you're watching the Parliament,
yes,
you can knit, but only if you are a spouse of one of
the MPs.
Yeah.
So technically, Guy Williams is allowed to knit.
Yeah.
In Parliament.
But most people can't.
Because no one knows how to knit.
Thanks to our friend H. They told us all about that fact.
They did.
Legend.
Absolute legend.
Have you been to the United States of America?
Passing through to get to Europe.
Yeah.
So I was in the airport.
When I was there, I've
seen the airport in LA.
Oh, nice.
Pretty cool. You could say I've caught the LA bug.
So think about how their culture is like so pervasive, meant that when I was there, I was like, oh, I'm in the real world.
Like this is what reality is based on.
Yeah, yeah. This is what we're all trying to replicate.
It's like you've finally read the book.
that all the movies
are based on.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bizarre.
That is weird. It would be good to go to America to be like, I get the references now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
And you just feel like, because there's so many people there who like don't have passports and don't really care about the rest of the world, right? And you're like,
yeah.
Oh. And then, to be honest, when I was in America, I was like, I get it. You got everything's here.
I just love this country so much. Like, I love this country so much.
And it's really good, isn't it?
It's the the best thing is, it's only gonna get better.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, how? I mean, maybe not in terms of the climate, but in terms of like shops.
Well, I don't know though, because Topshop came here, and I remember when Topshop opened, they were like, Uniqlo's coming soon, baby. And then Topshop tanked.
Honestly, sucks.
It did.
Topshop sucks. And they did the wrong thing of they just give us all their sloppy seconds that they don't sell overseas. It's so stupid.
It's crazy.
But we don't need Topshop. We need Uniqlo though. I love Uniqlo.
We need
like Muji and IKEA. It's going to be great.
It is going to be good.
And I was just like, it's like everything that you possibly want, and it's just this beautiful small country, and there's all these beaches. And I love a real fruit ice cream on the side of the motorway.
And no one makes a flat white like a kiwi barista.
I was reading this interesting fact, because Sydney Mardi Gras is coming up.
Are you going, Cobber?
Are you going, Cobber? Why is it Sydney Mardi? I was just looking into it. Weirdly, it's called the Gay and Lesbian Sydney Mardi Gras, which feels weirdly exclusive.
That's weird.
But I could be wrong on that, so fact check me if you like. But it's called the 2019 Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
They've done that thing where they put gay ahead of lesbian, like when people say GLBT. And also missed out.
Yeah, the T, the I, the A, the Q, the plus.
Yeah.
Anyway, one thing they are doing that's quite cool is that they're kind of trying to phase out the use of glitter balloons and plastic water bottles and like all kind of like single use plastics.
The amazing symbol of pride, the plastic water bottle.
I think it's quite more of an event.
Yes, true. And it is,
but that was one thing that I was really critically aware of at, like, say, Big Gay Out. It's like these organizations, I heard that a lot of the glitter that was being used at the Big Gay Out was that biodegradable glitter.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But there was so much other plastic. I mean, it was a hot day, so yeah. I'm glad that people were drinking water. But there's a lot of single-use plastic water bottles being used, and all like fans and like it's just like it's junk. It's
confetti.
Just confetti and balloons. It's just like it's junk. We don't need it.
Isn't it crazy that like shops like Look Sharp, which there are so many times in my life where I'm like, yes, I'm going to go to Look Sharp and buy some stuff. And then ultimately I'm like, for the sake of our planet,
we need to close it down.
Stop. This, you just shut this down.
Yeah, that shop is things you buy once.
Yeah.
You then buy again later. But it's, it just kind of, it's exhausting, like the amount of promotional material that gets sent out by these, like, honestly great charities and organizations. I was like, maybe it doesn't need to happen. It's like, how do we get the cause out or the message across without having to give you a gift?
Yeah.
It's like, it's so, be like, it happens all the time.
It's like when you start university and all the banks are trying to get you to sign up an account and
give you a pen and a lanyard and a balloon and some lollies.
I remember when I started university, timestamp here, one of the banks gave you an MP3 player that could store 25 songs, and I was like, sick.
Yeah, that's,
I was like, that's so cool.
It's bribery, really, and it's kind of got to stop.
It's absolutely got to stop.
This is a crazy fact here. They're looking over their Sydney Mardi Gras. This is an article I just honestly saw on Gay Express, so I haven't done the research yet. This has literally fallen into my lap. But they talked to the Sydney Morning Herald, and one of the chief executive, Therese Kasu, explained that they used to bring in about 3 tons of glitter from China, which ultimately just ran into the drains.
Oh my God. 3 tons
of glitter.
That is shocking information.
Where the fuck is that going? Because is it going on the bodies, or is it going on
in the air?
Is it being like? Because I don't think you throw confetti in the air, but glitter,
you throw it.
I guess so. It's gotta stop. We've got to stop it. And this trend of like glitter bearding, and I'm gonna call it.
I know you hate glitter bearding.
I hate a glitter beard.
I don't mind it.
I don't think the effect works.
I think sometimes it can look cool, and I like that it's kind of like, I don't know, a little bit of a, you know, juxtaposition of like a real mask thing with some some fruity glitter.
I can't. I don't know. I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't think... it works.
When I see someone doing it, I do imagine like them later in that night just like standing over the sink for like 2 hours, like just trying to get it all out.
Yes. It's got to stop. Yeah, we've got to stop this promotional bribery. It's too much trash.
Yeah.
It's too much trash. Yeah. But why is it Sydney? Why is it called Mardi Gras?
Yeah, because Mardi Gras just means a party, though, right? Because there are other Mardi Gras in the world, right. And it is not a queer event. It is just a big party. So, and I guess maybe that's it. They're just like,
yeah.
What do you think it means?
I don't know.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's so interesting, their relationship to Pride versus ours. How you sort of feel? I mean, Pride's kind of over now. I mean, it is for us a lifestyle.
Pride really never ends for me.
No, never. But
I'm often imagining very proud comebacks to hecklers that will never come for me.
I'm constantly fighting people in my mind, fighting the cause in these imaginary scenarios. How are you feeling kind of post that month?
Guilty for not going to enough events.
We should confess, we're both, because of personal reasons that are like because of schedules and our partners and stuff, missed the march. By personal reasons, it sounds like we didn't want to go. We desperately wanted to be there, but I was like, part of me was like, I'm fighting for my rights, but also like the right to live openly, and so I should also, in a way, I was like, my partner wants me to be at this family thing, I should definitely be there because that's living that lifestyle that I'm trying to fight for. But I was like, you know, next time there'll always be more parades and stuff, but the march looked beautiful.
It did look really cool.
I went to the gay out and I went to a couple of events, a couple of shows and stuff. I really like the side of Pride that's like curated art events and
outdoor movies
and like absorbing content over pride, and I like using it as like an educational thing rather than like a display.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which I think is fun. Like, it feels nurturing rather than showing off.
It definitely felt like it was a big thing that happened. Like, it felt like there was a lot going on.
Well, shout out to the organizers, who
Luke Wilson, who I think was like the only staff member.
Oh my goodness,
it was crazy.
Yeah, full on. There's lots of talks and stuff, and I just think like that's the I love that direction of Pride.
Yeah, more political.
Yeah, definitely. Roots. Just like use it as a time to educate yourself and deepen your understanding of your queer identity, rather than use it as an opportunity just to like throw 3 tons of glitter into the atmosphere.
Can you ever see yourself going to something like Sydney Mardi Gras and like doing the whole thing? Like, you know how they have like a gay flight? Like, they like a whole plane gets booked out.
I wouldn't want to do that. No.
Yeah.
Would you? I don't think I would enjoy it. But then again, that's because of my taste of what I want to be doing over those events. Like, I went to my very first Pride event. This Pride was like a screening of Moonlight in Sandringham in an outdoor cinema run by what is George Fenwick's event called?
Queer Scenes,
which you can follow on Facebook. And it was like such a beautiful way of kicking it off, and it was like nurturing, and there was straight people, there were queer people all in this outdoor cinema watching this incredible film. And I was like, this is all I need. I don't need to be and I think that from what I heard from people at the march, it was like, it was a simple and clear and effective gesture versus like this big show with all this production and money spent. It was like, we are the activism, and our presence is the activism. We don't need to like hire an LED light up screen to make that visible and to make that impact. And I got the same amount of like news coverage.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was everywhere.
It was bloody
huge.
It
looked stunning.
Talk about Moonlight. What did you think about Oscars 2019? Isn't it devastating that I was reading an article that said this, and I was like, this is so true, that we are now living post the peak of the Oscars, because the La La Land Moonlight thing that happened is forever going to be the most incredible thing that ever happened at the Oscars.
It's up there with like, was it Marlon Brando who didn't accept his award and had that Native American protest to come up? It's like one of those sort of iconic Oscar moments. There'll be another one. Like, we didn't know that Moonlight thing. I mean, this was the Oscars. There was no host.
Yes.
Which is...
That's buzzy.
It's buzzy.
But I just think the La La Land Moonlight thing was so funny, because the entire... It was like 30 people got up on stage.
Yeah.
Had to get off stage for another 30 people to come on.
I was so happy for Olivia Colman.
It was so good. Her speech was so good. That's our Queen of the Week. She's got to be, right?
Oh, she absolutely is.
We've probably done her before.
Queen... What queen does she play?
Queen Anne.
So she's also the Queen of the Week.
Yes.
By proxy. I was mainly focused on the red carpet stuff. I wasn't really blown away really by a lot of looks.
What's the guy from Pose with the tuxedo gown?
That was incredible.
That was great.
What is his name?
I don't think it starts with a T.
I fucking haven't watched Pose.
Neither.
Is it on?
It's on Neon or Lightbox. It's on one of those two.
Okay. Should we watch it? Should we make a pact to watch it?
Of course.
Bam. So that was incredible. And that was a... he was like directly referencing like one of those ball scenes.
Yes.
Vogue artists. Oh, I can't name check anyone. I'm so dumb.
Also loved Elsie Fisher, who's in 8th grade, and she wore a tux and she looked really cool. She's she's like fucking 16 and already incredible.
I feel like the attention goes... Have the Emmys happened?
No, they're later in the year.
I feel like the attention is going to be more on the Emmys now, because the rise of television is huge. Like, I feel like... And the people who I'm most excited about seeing would be at the Emmys, weirdly.
And I often feel like at the Emmys... Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like they actually acknowledge the best TV shows.
Yes.
They wouldn't award something like Green Book. Like, they...
I think that was a disappointing win.
Yeah, I think it was... I think it's a case of, like, there being so many good, very different films that the... Because when you vote for the Best Picture Oscar, if you're in the Academy, you rank them, right? Yeah. So you have your first favourite, your second favourite, your third favourite. And maybe it's a case of, like, Green Book being everyone's fourth favourite. But yeah. Everyone was so disparate in their voting that Green Book was the one that rose to the top.
And do you think maybe it's a lot of, like, these old white men who watch that film being like, oh, I am a hero. That's the best film.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, which it just shows that white people and black people could be friends. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, when you've got like Black Klansman and Black Panther in there.
I know.
Actually making proper statements.
I'm sort of torn between Gaga's look, and I think the more I've looked, I initially panned it with you.
You did? And I was shocked because I was like, no, this is good.
I think it is still, I think it's, I'm still not, like, I didn't want her to be like, full Gaga, you know, like, even though I think she is wearing Alexander McQueen.
Yeah, she is. And Tiffany's, obviously.
But the necklace, when I looked into the necklace again, I was like, oh, that is kind of a hot move. That was the last person to wear it was Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of doing this little black dress.
It's like a Hepburn with a twist look. It is.
But I love the gloves. I think the styling was wrong. I think the hair and the makeup was weirdly wrong.
Is it the fake tan? Because I didn't really realize at the time, but then if you look at it, she's very orange.
I think she's probably still like got this like Vegas grime on her a little bit.
Yeah,
like she's still gigging hard and doing these shows, right? So it's kind of hard for then her to go full demure, like,
true.
I don't know what it was. I just needed another gesture with the hair or the makeup. Like, it didn't completely blow me away, but the dress, the more I've looked at it, I'm like, it is kind of incredible what it's doing.
Do you think her and Bradley Cooper have had sex?
This is such a good question. I don't think so, which is why it makes my eyes roll even more. I feel like it's performative, their friendship. They're like, we had such a connection in this movie. And it's like, you know that thing when you do an Amdram show? Or a professional show, but like it usually happened in the Amdram circles of like you like as a cast you bond, and then it's
and
like
you think your show is the most important,
thing in the world, and then
this,
the show
this is your
comes,
family, and you're gonna be the friends forever,
and then there's a group start, there's like Facebook chats or whatever, there's that one critical like party that happens in season, and then there is that one person that's like, hey guys, it's been a week since the show closed. Let's get together. And like, it'd be so great to have a potluck.
Yeah.
And 7 people of the 30 turn up, you know? And it's like, it's trying to hold,
trying to keep that buzz going. And there's definitely like, there's like a showman's energy. It's like a couple of the show.
It's exactly, it's a showman's. It's like, you guys have to let it go and just like move on. Because also, I just like, for me, I'm like, it's just acting.
Yeah.
It's just acting. Like, let it go. Just move on and get on with your gigs.
And I just don't understand why when you're performing that song at the Oscars, you need to like commit to performing it like you're in love with each other.
No,
it's bizarre.
Just be on the opposite sides of the stage.
Just sing good.
Just fucking sing. What do you think of Bette Midler's performance?
Oh, great.
I think the song kind of sucked. Like, but yeah. I thought her performance was just like, I feel like she's like, listen, I can sing this with my eyes closed. It's basically a lullaby. But I was like, fuck, it's great to see Bette Midler again. Her voice is just incredible.
This is another place where the lost
She just kind of stands there and kind of blinks slowly. And like, it's just, she's such a queen. I love her so much. Her old performances, I've talked about them before. I just like, because she's like,
she's good.
Had such an impact in the queer community. Where, like, she was one of these like kind of original sort of cabaret artists who was like surround, like a real fag hag of the time, you know? Which I really
love.
She was
fag hag before it was a problem to be a fag hag.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, that time of being, like, aligning with queer people.
Yeah.
As a straight woman back in the day. Like, it would have been pretty divisive, and I think you would have lost fans over it.
That's the thing, and I think when you hear someone like Kathy Griffin talks about, like, her gaze and stuff, and to me hearing it now, I'm like, do not call us your gaze. But I think even in the 90s, it's like a strong thing to do, to be like, these are my friends.
Yes.
Look at us.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend these people don't exist or their sexuality isn't like a thing.
Well, they need to be hidden.
I was just rewatching Gaga's entrance into the RuPaul's Drag Race workroom when she pretended to be a drag queen.
So
the
funny.
The best bit of that whole performance is she does a piece to Cam, like as a
as
of the
a
boys,
dude, yeah.
And she's like, and I can't wait for these queens to find out And then she takes her hat and her glasses off, and then she's like, "That it's really me," and then reveals that it's Gaga, and it's like,
"Babe, we knew.
We knew." Like, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding?
Do you see Miley Cyrus is doing that this week? She's dressed up as a boy and she's pretending to be a crew member or something.
They'll see her.
You look like Miley Cyrus.
And I think people will be like, "Oh, Miley Cyrus." And they'll be like, "Oh my God, Miley."
I know.
It's amazing that Gaga really had, like, she is one of those artists. Like, as much as I pan her, and it sounds like I hate her, she is one of those artists that has transcended to that level of like Elton John, Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. Like, these like names. You're just like, she might not pull out another banger ever again, but like the way her career, she's like untouchable in terms of being a classic.
And I don't think Miley Cyrus will ever be that.
She will never be
Miley
that.
Miley Cyrus will be someone that you go like, she's actually got quite a good voice.
Yes.
Oh, she actually has a few good songs, but you'll never be like, she is.
And these are icons, right? Yeah. Really, if you think about it. Who is like a modern... Do you think Gaga is our most recent icon, or do we have someone...
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I guess so.
She's the most successful pop artist right now. She's breaking all the records, and she's... And she was already, before this kind of like, in the last year, like, she really has been propelled to being like the pop star.
She's had to prove herself so much.
Yeah.
And is that the kind of Disney scrub of like scrubbing that Disney brand off her?
Yeah, I think
so. Have you seen the comparative images of her tan?
It's bad news, right?
It's pretty bad news, yeah.
The photo of her with Nicki Minaj, where she is darker than Nicki Minaj, is... shocking.
Yeah.
And as well, because I was definitely someone who was like, thought she was Latina. Like, I thought...
Right.
I definitely did not think she was white.
Italian, yeah. So she's got, like, dark features.
Yeah.
But her skin is, like, in that photo, white as snow.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. But, yeah. I mean, that also would be the Disney, like, whitening.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Yeah, it's... I guess so. For some reason,
I think Cardi B is maybe going to be there as well. Even Nicki Minaj is also probably on the same level as Gaga.
These are prolific, important pop artists of our time. But do you think they're like... Because I'm like, Beyonce.
Yeah.
In terms of like... Maybe it's like if they can do a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Ariana, in a way, hasn't... Like, she's the biggest female pop artist of her time, but she just hasn't transcended into that, like, EGOT territory.
Yeah, well, she's not, like, a legacy performer yet. But
I guess
she's
young.
Undoubtedly going to be that.
Yeah, she's
I think Nicki Minaj probably is a legacy performer now.
Yes.
We have passed her prime.
Yes. Cardi B could be that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah. Yeah, I guess Grande's on her way to becoming that.
Do you think Justin Bieber's past his prime?
Interesting. I reckon he's not going to... He will always be remembered as that boy, right? That, like, yeah, he 13, was like the Beatle mania kind of shit. But it will be interesting when he's, like, 40.
Yeah.
If he gets to 40.
It'll be interesting when he's, like,
if he
30.
Dies tragically, like, he'll be revered, obviously, because that's what happens. But if he gets to, like, an old man, I'm like, is he going to go to... Like, what's he going to...
Considering how we feel about Justin Timberlake now, which is, like, emotionless. Which is, like, numb.
Aren't we awful, eh? Like, we're just like, be incredible all the time.
Yeah. Or die young.
Or die young.
Lady Gaga, also, in an interview after winning the Oscar, she says... That she hopes that we see genderless categories at the Oscars in the future.
I think that's a great idea.
Yes.
I don't understand how a female performance has to be rated differently to a male performance. Like, why that matters.
Yeah, it's so weird, eh? But then there's also like a weird adjustment, like mentally, because for me it's like, especially like the best actress race is always the most... exciting award. It's always the most exciting award.
Totally, but okay, this is a very weird comparison, but the Wellington Theatre Awards.
Yeah, okay, cool.
They nominate like 8 performances.
Oh yeah, and they can be like supporting or lead, right? In the same category?
Yeah, and then there's just like then they just give out the award.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of love like it changes like to have been nominated for a performance is huge.
Yeah.
And then to win the award is epic. But it's important just to be, like, it really means that it's important to be nominated because it's, like, cross-gender. Mm. And then it allows, like, if what if there's, like, an incredible intersex performance? It's, or, like,
yeah.
It gets really fucking, or gender non-binary performance. It gets really fucking muddy, you know?
And that'll happen in the next few years.
It will absolutely happen. In which case, I'm like, oh, like, hey, Oscars, just, like, clear that up.
Clear that up now.
Clear it up now and then make it awesome.
Should we
run the Oscars?
I think so. We're going to run, host, and win the Oscars.
For our movie, The Male Gaze Live.
What do you think about when the things get categorized into drama and comedy, a la the Golden Globes?
It's really weird when, like, The Martian was nominated as a comedy.
And I think it won Best Comedy.
Which is honestly fucked. But then I think it's good in terms of allowing comedies to get awards because drama is always going to be more revered over comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why it was nice, to be honest, to see Olivia Colman win because it was a funny performance and she, like, obviously...
Did she win Best Comedy? No.
She won Best Actress.
Yes.
But to win for... Even when, like, fucking... Obviously, the favourite is also... There's lots of shades of the performance. But, like, Gwyneth Paltrow won for Shakespeare in Love. A lot of people are angry about it. But I'm like, it's nice to see someone win for, like, essentially a romantic comedy performance. Because it's not like that is easy to do.
It's interesting, that Colman performance, because it's exactly what I want from a performance. Of, like, I want it to be... Have moments where I'm just like, you are the funniest person in the world. And then I want to be, like, heartbroken by you at the same time. It's just, like, it gives you such... scale. It's just like, and I'm like, she's a perfect performer. She was on Peep Show and now she's won an Oscar. Like, she's an Oscar award-winning actress. It's like, that is career goals. I love it.
Poor Glenn.
Hey, should we just quickly end up talking about poor Glenn? Did you see that video of her? So Billy Porter is the guy's name who wore the incredible tux dress Dior. I think Dior made it. Have you seen the video of Glenn Close seeing him?
Yes.
And her face is like, wow. God damn.
It's so good.
She's like, she's almost like, okay. 2019. Like, it's sort of.
I saw someone retweet that. They were like, me when I see two men holding hands on the street.
I love seeing queer couples hold hands.
Same.
I'm like, yo, agenda. Let's do it, baby.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So just quickly, because this has been up on my social media feeds quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
This BDMRR Act, which is the Births, Deaths, Marriages,
and Relationship Registration
Act. And we obviously, so this is a bill. I mean, we're never the most... We always have to be like, guys, we're comedians who are trying our best to, like, read everything and catch up. So, like, apologies if this is just absolutely bastardized.
Our reading ages are 9 and 12.
honestly. Like, I stopped reading at the age of 8. And when I read stuff, I'm like, it took me so long to read that. But basically, it's a...
we are professional writers who cannot read.
It was a bill that was trying to be passed that would allow... trans, takatapui, intersex, and gender non-binary, I guess, to allow to change their gender on passports and
birth certificate.
Yeah, the birth certificate. Yeah. Maybe not driver's license. Maybe that's, I don't know. Anyway, critical information about yourself and how you identify, which is your choice.
Yeah.
To be like, to take ownership over your identity like that. Currently, to make those changes to your gender, that the one that you're assigned versus the way you actually identify, you have to go through this really lengthy process of
expensive, long.
You have to take it to, like, court or something, or
you have to prove that you're making, like, medical steps.
Yeah, and then you have to go get a fucking doctor's certificate and all this bullshit, and it can cost, like, up to $3,000 or something. If you think about people who are trying to save for their transition, it's just like an unnecessary expense and a demoralizing expense.
Yeah.
And it could be so easily fixed by this act, which is to basically give the ownership back on the individual and allow them just to change it with a justice of the peace, like, overseeing it.
Yes, and it also means that your gender identity is not subject to your physical transformation. So the original law, I guess, was created in the 90s when that idea of transitioning meant, like, there were physical steps you had to take. And now it's like your identity is not just about like the physical procedures you've had done.
And so the act was kind of making its way, the bill was trying to make its way through Parliament, and then it has kind of been halted and paused and kind of deprioritised in a way.
Tracy Martin, is that her name? And she's a New Zealand First MP.
Yes.
Of course someone from New Zealand First should be all over this one.
I know, I was like, oh no.
No.
I know. And I was kind of looking at her Facebook the other day, and she was like, not talking about it. But she was like, has maybe tweets like once a month. And I was like, this is the sign of an MP who was not engaged in the conversation. I was like, you should be tweeting all the time. Anyway, we should be putting this in Chloe Swarbrick's hands. And she should just fix everything. Anyway, so obviously, first and foremost, we're just sending a lot of love to our trans, takatāpui, intersex friends, gender non-binary friends out there who are like, it's just whenever this...
Just more shit piling up to deal with.
It's unnecessary noise in their timelines. And I just feel like it must be just so heartbreaking to like just try it. You just want to be happy.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants to be happy. And then to have these conversations, to have your identity constantly be scrutinized by people who aren't living that experience, it's just must be so exhausting. So first and foremost, just a lot of love and support. And then there's some so basically we're just we don't even really need to get into the fear of like why people are trying to stop it from happening. It's just TERF bullshit.
TERF bullshit.
But the most important thing is, I guess, you can act as an ally or support. I've seen a couple of... basically, we just want to get this bill back into the attention, right? And make it more of a priority and get it passed.
Yeah.
So you can email Tracy...
Tracy Martin, and she will respond to that. She checks her emails twice a year, so...
I guess you could tweet her. You could message her on Facebook. If you look through, like, there's lots of stuff like Rainbow Youth and all those organizations have been posting about it. They give you her email address, so you can email her directly.
Yeah.
There's like action, like protest. My words have literally stopped. But you can sign petitions. You could read up on it and get a bit informed, and then kind of have the conversation with your friends as well, and just get word out there.
Also, just check up on your pals who are affected by this.
Because totally,
it's just shit.
I know.
Buy them a coffee.
Oh my god, let's do that.
Buy us a coffee. We're tired.
So don't buy us a coffee.
No, we've had three today.
That was my first one at the beginning of this podcast.
Oh wow, go
anyway,
you.
So yes to BDMRR. If you see that on Twitter, which I saw like those BDMRR, and I was like, is this like
BDSM?
And it took me a while to like look into it. Don't just scroll past it. Maybe click and have a bit more of a read. I mean, more of a read than we have. I'm going to keep reading up on it.
Hey, huge news this week as well. Today, yesterday, Hugh Jackman announced he's bringing his live arena tour.
Arena.
He's doing an arena tour where he will sing, I think, songs from like Boy from Oz, Les Mis, and of course, The Greatest Showman. And they're also announced they're making The Greatest Showman 2, which I can't even imagine what else there is to cover from his life. But he's doing a live tour here. In one of the interviews, he acknowledged the gay rumors because he did the Boy from Oz, which is the role is a gay stage manager, I think.
Right.
That's the role that he played. And he kissed a boy like 1,000 times or whatever.
I kissed a boy 1,000 times. It was for my show on Broadway.
He tells a story in one of the interviews about like his wife going to see The Boy from Oz. She went to it over 40 times. And then she was in the toilet, and then there were two women talking about...
She was on the toilet.
Two women were like, do you think he's gay in real life? And then she like yelled over the cubicles, he isn't.
That's so weird.
It's such a bizarre anecdote to tell.
That's so weird.
I do feel like Hugh Jackman, as a straight man...
We've got to call him Huge Jackman.
Huge Jackman. As a straight man doing a live musical theatre arena tour, it's really just like...
Get off my turf?
The exemplary of like a straight man who gets the lead in a musical. And everyone else in it is
gay. Are
we
going to go?
Yeah, of course I'm going.
Great.
This is the greatest. He did the opening of the Brit Awards, and it's so good.
Oh, great. We need free tickets.
Yeah, I know.
That's honestly the least you can do. If you're listening to this, you've got the power.
Yes.
Hook these Homos up. Yeah, we want to see Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, if you're a true ally, you will give us free tickets to, your thing. And I know you listen to this podcast because that's how much of an ally you are. And this podcast was today sponsored by The Greatest Showman 2.
The tour.
The tour. Coming to Auckland.
Arena? It's an arena spectacular.
It's an arena spectacular.
That's too much. I guess he's a big star.
How bizarre, though, to just be like an actor for like into his late 40s, I guess, and now just like, be like, I'm going to do a musical theatre arena tour by myself.
It's like, he's like, I'm going to put on a show. I'm putting it on in arenas. And everyone's like, I guess you can afford that.
Yes. Anyway, watch him at the Brits. It's so good.
I'm going to watch him at the Brits.
I loved it.
It's the next clip I watch.
Cool.
It's logged in the bookmark tab in my mind, which is very long. And there's a lot of like porn in there.
I've got a lot of porn to watch, guys.
I've got so much porn to watch. I've got to catch up.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode, which was, of course, sponsored by the Hugh Jackman. Oh, no. The Greatest Showman Tour 2 live tour. Fuck.
Fucking. I think we're going to lose the sponsorship because you just fucked up the name.
Shoot me. I'm done. I'm spent.
We're sponsored by the Academy Awards.
I read one article. I'm exhausted.
I skim one article and I need a sleep.
Bye.
Bye, babies.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male and they're both gay. The male gaze.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.